In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Greetings, brothers and sisters, on this feast of the meeting of the Lord, in which the infant Jesus was presented in the temple in fulfillment of the law. And just as the Lord was later to submit to baptism, even though he himself was without sin, really didn't need to be baptized and cleansed of his sin by John, nevertheless, you know, he did this to fulfill the law. And by the same token, so the Most Holy Theotokos, having given birth to the Lord and by God's providence remained a virgin after giving birth, she herself had no need for this purification ritual that was required by the law because she was not impure. And nonetheless, Joseph and Mary brought the infant Jesus to the temple to submit to the requirements of the law. And as the Holy Fathers have said, God who created the law now fulfills the law by submitting to it himself. And as Christ himself said, I came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law. Archbishop Averroes once wrote that if the Theotokos were not ritually purified in the eyes of the priests and the people, she would not be considered a true Israelite. The mystery of her seedless conception and virgin birth was known to no one except to the Virgin Mary herself and Joseph, and so everything required by the law needed to be fulfilled to the letter. The Lord said in John 14, verse 12, "He that believeth on me, the works that I do, he shall do also, and greater works than these shall he do." Well, in fulfilling the old law, the Lord also gave us his commandments of the new law through his holy apostles, the Gospels, his holy church. And if our Lord took such great pains to fulfill even the laws of the Old Testament, then how much more should we Christians today fulfill the commandments of Christ of the New Testament? For all these things are given for our benefit and to help us toward our salvation. The holy sacraments of confession and communion, the spiritual practices of prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, the struggle against the passions and acquiring of the virtues, and above all, the two great commandments to love God with all our hearts, mind, soul, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. And so while we can understand the event of Christ's presentation in the temple as the Lord fulfilling the law that he gave us and an important part of his saving ministry, there's also a deeper spiritual meaning for us. The temple, of course, in the Old Testament, becomes for us an image of the church. And we spiritually meet Christ when we come to the church to submit ourselves in sincere prayer, to make our offerings to God, and to participate in the holy sacraments. And in today's feast, we can see the law and the prophets reflected. You really see this in the Old Testament. You know, we talk about the law. Christ talks about the law and the prophets, and you hear a lot about that. You know, Zechariah, the priest and father of St. John the Baptist, you know, receives the offering from Joseph and Mary. He's the priest. This is what you do according to the law. And there's a thing about them offering 5 silver shekels, you know, in remembrance of when the Lord spared the firstborn sons of the Israelites in the land of Egypt. And so the tradition was to offer, basically to give the child to God and then to buy him back, you know, with these 5 sacred shekels. And ideally, a blameless, a pure lamb would be offered, but they were very expensive. And so Joseph and Mary, being of modest means, you know, chose a lesser sacrifice to offer, which was 2 turtle doves. And so by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Zechariah set the Virgin Mary in her rightful place amongst the other virgins in the temple, something that outraged the scribes and Pharisees, since they believed Mary to just be merely another married woman. And at that same time, we also hear the prophetic words of St. Simeon and righteous and prophetess Anna, who acknowledged Jesus as the Messiah who was to come, and that all who accept Christ as the Savior will be set free spiritually from the bondage to the world, the flesh, and the devil, while all who reject Christ ultimately will fail. In a sense, we can understand the law and the prophets then as an image of the form and structure of the temple, you know, the priesthood and all of God's ancient commandments that must be fulfilled. But we can also see, like it says in the Creed, the Holy Spirit who spoke by the prophets at work here. The Holy Spirit descends to us through the sacraments and the spiritual practices of you know, prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. And just as Simeon awaited the coming of the Messiah and joyfully received him as an infant in his arms, so the goal of our lives is to draw closer to Christ and to meet him in the spiritual temple of our heart, mind, body, and soul. Like St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6:19, "What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own?" So, you know, and Paul and other Holy Fathers talk a lot about this, how our very bodies and souls are, as it were, a type of temple. So, and that's where we want to meet Christ. Each time we prepare ourselves to receive Holy Communion worthily, we have the opportunity to meet Christ as Simeon did, both in the church as well as in the temple of our hearts. And while Simeon saw the Lord with his bodily eyes and held him in his arms, of course, we're called to have a deeper faith, since we do not usually see the Lord with our bodily eyes. Yet, as Christ said to the Apostle Thomas, "Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed, but blessed are they that have not seen and yet believed." And the evidence of this is that a feast like this, really all the feasts, but this one as well, has a tremendous power in the grace of the Holy Spirit, which, you know, many times we're sort of unaware of, but we know that, according to the history and tradition, that in the time of the righteous Emperor Justinian in the 6th century, there was an outbreak of the plague in throughout the Byzantine Empire, and as many as 5,000 to 10,000 people were perishing every single day. And at the same time, there was a great earthquake in Antioch, which destroyed many buildings and crushed many people. And then in Pompeiopolis, north of modern-day Ankara in Turkey, sort of east of Constantinople, there were also earthquakes there that caused the ground to split open and literally swallowed people, you know. So, I mean, these terrifying afflictions were devastating the empire. And it was at that time revealed to a certain holy man that today's feast, the meeting of the Lord, which had been celebrated since ancient times, but not given that much honor, you know, it's just kind of another thing to, you know, sort of remember. But this holy man, you know, it was revealed to him that the meeting of the Lord really was a very important feast and should be celebrated as splendidly as the other feasts of the Lord and the Theotokos, you know, the Nativity and all those things. And at his urging, the all-night vigil was served everywhere in the realm on the eve of February 2nd. Processions were held, and immediately the plagues and the earthquakes ceased, and by the Lord's mercy and the intercessions of the Immaculate Theotokos. So as we look around us today and we see that there's much evil in the world, and we are surrounded by many dangers and toils and snares, like it says in the song Amazing Grace, let us therefore celebrate this great feast today and offer our prayers to the Lord that he will set us free from the bonds of sin and deliver us from all afflictions by his great mercy. Glory be to our God.